This is St. Louis Public Radio. For a second year, Missouri farmers are grappling with crop damage caused by the weed killer dicamba. The issue has sparked disputes between growers who use dicamba and those who have been harmed by it. As farmers begin to harvest their crop this season, many are worried about potential losses they could experience next year. St. Louis Public Radio's Eli Chen reports.
In Sikeston, Missouri, 2 hours south of St. Louis, Steve Hamra is building a new hydroponic farm where vegetables will be grown in water instead of soil. In front of a greenhouse scaffold, Hamra points to trays of seedlings on a metal cart.
But these are bell peppers, and then these are tomato plants, and then we got our lettuces. We got your red romaine, green romaine, and different things like that.
The facility will provide produce to about 400 schools. Hamra, the president and founder of Amanzi Farms, hopes to expand to Kansas City and Springfield, but he's concerned that his produce could be damaged by the herbicide dicamba, which some of his neighbors are using.
Whenever I have 120,000 heads of lettuce, I've got over 5,000 tomato plants, 5,000 cucumber plants, 5,000 bell pepper plants. How am I affected with it when they start spraying in the spring?
Farmers have been using dicamba since the 1960s. But the way it's been used has changed because Monsanto introduced new dicamba-tolerant soybean and cotton varieties last year. The chemical is good at killing a tough weed called pigweed, but dicamba is also hard to control. It turns into a gas in hot weather that can drift and settle into nearby fields, causing damage to sensitive crops. Kevin Bradley is a plant sciences professor at the University of Missouri-Columbia.
In this past year, we had just incredible complaints throughout the months of June, July, and August.
His research estimates that dicamba has hurt more than 320,000 acres of soybeans in Missouri this year.
I mean, I've been doing this for more than 20 years now, and I was around when Roundup Ready was introduced. In my opinion, this is nothing like the introduction of any other trait or technology as far as the scope and the significance of the injury that's been observed across the U.S.
Bradley and other researchers are trying to understand how factors like wind, temperature, and volatility affect the chemical's movement.
I just do not think that we know enough yet to be able to apply this safely.
Meanwhile, the controversy over dicamba has created a lot of tension in the agriculture community. Trey Wilson, who farms near Amanzi Farms, saw damage to his soybeans this year and considered taking legal action.
But I hate lawyers. I really do. And I especially don't want to sue my neighbors. I'm friends, good friends with my neighbors. I don't want to do that. But the more this keeps going through, when it comes to suing Monsanto, I'm getting on board. I'm not there yet, but I'm moving that way.
Depending on how his yield turns out this year, Wilson says he might have to buy seeds from Monsanto to avoid losses next year.
I am pro Monsanto. I am pro GMO. I'm pro big ag. And even with all that said, I still don't like this product. One of the main issues I have, they're forcing me to buy a product that I don't want. I don't want to be around it. I don't want to touch it.
And specialty crop growers like Steve Hamra are frustrated by the lack of solutions.
If I went to Monsanto and said, hey, I need 15,000 seeds that are dicamba ready for lettuce or tomatoes or bell peppers or cucumbers, that's something that they, you know, there's nothing there to fall back on. We get our stuff killed out. We're done. We're having to clean, replant, transplant. It's months before we're back up and running.
Wilson and Hamra think that dicamba should be banned because the risks are too great. The Environmental Protection Agency has approved the chemical for use next year, but is considering limits on when farmers can spray it. I'm Eli Chen, St. Louis Public Radio.